everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Drop. Greg Wyshynski, Arto Ocal, we're with you every Tuesday and Friday, wherever you get your audio podcasts as well. The NHL on ESPN YouTube. Yeah. I love when we are in the studio because we can enjoy
each other's
company.
I can see your what Star Wars jersey you've decided to wear.
Of the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, who have nothing to do with the NHL other than being the Penguins farm team, and they're not in the playoffs. But we are going to talk about the Arizona Coyotes.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the former Arizona Coyotes. We're going to talk about a team that is moving to Salt Lake City as early as next season. Actually, it is happening next season, and you uncovered the name. You just tweeted
Well, the name is not going to be anything. In year one of the franchise, they're just going to call it Utah something. Utah, just Utah, like in the PWHL.
Right, is it going to be like Utah in diagonal letters?
It could be. It could be Utah HC, which I think would be kind of an interesting name. Who's to say? I think we'll know by Friday what they're going to call this thing. We should know by next week what the colors will be to start. But we know it's going to be called Utah. It's not going to be called Salt Lake City. So apologies to all those Arizona Coyotes fans that were chanting Salt Lake City sucks. You should have gone with Utah sucks. That was the preferred nomenclature.
Yeah, Utah sucks. It rolls off the tongue better, too. We got some winners and losers for this. Winner, Speed. Not the movie with the bus and the certain miles per hour. I'm talking the quickness in which this whole thing came about.
Is it 50 miles or 60 miles? 50?
I think it was 50, right?
Yeah, I think it was 50.
It was 50.
Right.
Can't go below 50.
Right, or else the bomb, because the bomb is attached to the gold watch. The gold watch is under the bus.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, shout out to Sandra Bullock, right?
Was it
Sandra Bullock?
That's right. She's a wildcat driving the bus.
So,
that's how they know the cameras have been messed with, because he says wildcat, and how would he know she's the wildcat if he can't
exactly.
see the camera?
We
all know this.
Obviously, we know this, and now we know that deals like this can be executed and moved along at a rapid pace.
Yes.
So anyone dragging their feet, any trades that take forever or any sort of litigations that occur in the future of hockey, we will point to this relocation.
Okay, but not every trade involves the trade playing in a 5,000-seat college arena for another season, hockey-related revenue like a leech.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
This is the gold standard for how quickly things can get done in the NHL.
It can. Loser for me, the music. Let me explain. First of all, my heart goes out to all the Arizona Coyotes fans.
Yes.
I'm a Devils fan. When the Devils won the Cup in 95, there were signs on the stage the players were holding that said Nashville, no way, because there was a chance my team was going to be ripped from me after winning the Stanley Cup and put in Nashville. So I understand the pain of relocation. I don't understand the pain of Coyotes relocation because you guys have been going through it for the better part of a decade. But here's the thing. Tears were rolling last night at Mullet Arena, Arda. It was very, very sad. The people were openly weeping. Coyotes fans that have supported this team from back in the Phoenix days, crying all over the arena. The players were sad, waving the flag. Players were sad. Shane Doan was sad. Everybody was sad. The PA system in the arena during this time of the night was playing James Brown's I Feel Good. And I will never forget this moment when I see people openly weeping in the stands, and I hear as they're crying, and the players are like, how am I going to sell my condo? I hear, wow, I feel good, like sugar and spice. And I'm just like, my God. And you know what they went into after they played that damn song?
What?
Mambo Number 5. People openly weeping. The team has been ripped from us, and they're playing Mambo Number 5 inside the arena. Read the room, Mullet Arena.
Yeah, that's a tough look. That's a very tough look. Winner. It's kind of funny, Mambo Number 5.
It's not funny at all. It's very sad. They should have been playing. They should have been playing like songs from The Smiths last night or The Cure.
Just something, a
dirge of some sort.
Did they change the names of the people in the song to the Coyotes play? A little bit of Keller in my life. A little bit of Doan by my side. No.
A little bit of Cooley in my seat. No, they didn't do that at all.
No. Winner, the 2031 Stanley Cup champion Arizona Coyotes.
Oh, what?
Let me explain.
Please do.
For those that love the epitome of chaos,
mm-hmm.
imagine the possible scenario, long shot, but possible scenario, mm-hmm. that this Arizona Coyotes team moves to Utah. the clause exists that Alex Morello could get a team if he puts all of his ducks in a row in the next couple of years and builds a stadium, blah, et cetera, or builds an arena, blah, blah, blah. We all know this. And then he gets the team back because he still has the Coyotes IP.
Right.
But that team would not be Utah going back to Arizona. It would be an expansion draft.
Correct.
Imagine it goes as well as Vegas. Imagine this team is immediately competitive. I'm talking about Coyotes 2.0. Imagine it is a more competitive team than the Utah team that moved from Arizona. And imagine, finally, that the Arizona Coyotes 2.0 in several years from now become Stanley Cup champions before the Utah HC.
Normally, I would agree with you, but I actually think that, unlike other relocations we've seen, Ryan and Ashley Smith, the owners of this new Utah franchise, are getting a pretty good deal. Like, you know who scored a goal last night for them? A young man by the name of Dylan Gunther scored a goal last night for the Arizona Coyotes. Dylan Gunther is 20 years old, and he has now 18 goals in 45 games. They have Logan Cooley. They have Clayton Keller, as you mentioned. They've got a great collection of young players on this roster, and a roster that doesn't have a lot of long-term contracts, and a roster that has a treasure trove of draft capital that GM Bill Armstrong has captured over the years. They are set up for success, and they are set up for success at a time where they're going to get an owner that will be willing to spend money to make them good. I think, unlike Seattle and Vegas, the best path to success for Ryan and Ashley Smith is to get the Coyotes as they're currently constituted.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
All right.
All right, finally, winner and loser. Getting they contain multitudes in Arizona. Alex Morello. What a long, strange trip it's been, Arda. He acquired a distressed franchise in the Coyotes. He's going to make off pretty well. We understand the sale price could be $1 billion. And now he has this clause from the NHL where if he wins the land auction this summer, builds the arena he wants to build, and the entertainment complex that goes with it, and it is a state-of-the-art facility, and it is for an NHL team, this is what the NHL spelled out, he will then get to reactivate the Coyotes in 5 years. And he won't need Board of Governor approval to do it. I found that out from Bill Daly today, that the BOG will not have to sign off on this. He's already approved as an owner. So if he hits all the marks they've laid out for him, the Coyotes get reactivated. Wow. However, I think the NHL is kind of hedging their bets that this guy's not going to be able to get the arena built. I don't know about you. Do you kind of feel that way, too? They don't think that maybe he'll win the land. By the way, the land auction gets a little bit more complicated because now you have groups that weren't going to be involved in it that are now going to be involved in it because they didn't want to be seen as the reason the Coyotes were leaving. So it's going to be a more competitive auction. On top of that, can he get the arena done? Can he get it built? Will it be funded? All these questions are in place now for Morello and this group. But the biggest question is, does anyone want this guy owning the team? There are so many bridges he's burned locally with governments, with contractors, with everybody. The fans don't like the guy. I don't know, like, if the Coyotes are resurrected, one, I don't think they should be called the Coyotes. I think that's a toxic brand by now. And two, if he's the guy resurrecting them, even if he gets the arena built, will the fans even support it? I don't know. So, winner, you made a lot of money. Loser, you burned a lot of bridges to get that money.
I think it should be the fans' choice. If the team comes back, the fans should decide whether it should be the Coyotes or something else. That's just my opinion.
I don't
available
disagree.
To them, and they should decide.
Maybe they can name it after a cat. Canonically,
and not a dog.
Canonically, here on the drop, and we enjoy the Coyotes being a cat.
That's right.
Right.
Maybe they'll be Arizona HC. Who knows?
Nope.
Could be. We have a lot to talk about on the show.
Yes. Not like the playoffs are here or anything.
No,
right?
Not like we should do a playoff preview. One of the teams that are in the postseason, the Florida Panthers, they made it all the way to the Stanley Cup final last time around. Wish had a chance to sit down with Matthew Tkachuk.
All right, joining us now is Matthew Tkachuk, Florida Panthers star, and now a judge for the Hockey Hair Hall of Fame, as fans share photos of their sick hockey salad during a promotion from Great Clips, the official hair salon of the NHL. I guess the first question is, man, when it comes to the Florida Panthers, who has the most impressive flow these days?
I would say that it's got to be a toss-up. I think Ryan Lomberg has the long, luscious flow. So he's probably going to win the best flow on my team. But I don't know. Some guys, like I'm starting to give guys with the shorter hair, like a little bit more credit than your old traditional mullets, kind of like I have, I guess. But there's some guys I know, Bobrovsky, it's a little bit shorter than Lomberg's, but he throws the headband in and he looks pretty good too. So I'd say either one of those two.
How do we get the NHL to embrace the Minnesota High School Hockey Championships aesthetic when it comes to hair?
I know we should. And I think it's, I think you're seeing it a little bit more in hockey. Guys are showing off their hair a little bit, especially come playoff time. And there's, you know, the hair, the beard. There's so many fun things that you could do. And that I don't think traditionally hockey players have done through the whole regular season, but during playoffs, you can have a little bit of fun, kind of like the Minnesota state tournament too. So I think we have to embrace a little bit more in the playoffs, especially.
Now, you had a little bit of fun during the playoffs last year. What was the most important lesson that you learned during that incredible run for the Panthers to the Stanley Cup final?
The biggest thing I learned is just staying in each and every game. Momentum is such a big thing. Even if you lose the game, something could happen in the last 5 minutes of the game, or hit a goal, anything that can just, you know, momentum wise can carry over to the next game and can create a positive impact for your team. So it's not a best of one, it's a best of seven. So stuff that happens early on in playoff series can be showed up at the end. And it doesn't always have to be on the scoreboard. So definitely gained a lot of knowledge and experience last year, especially, that makes me super confident going into this year.
I guess the other question about last year is, what did you learn about stamina in the playoffs? You guys played a lot of hockey, man, leading up to that final and all those overtime games and stuff you had.
Yeah, especially the overtime games. We were in a lot of them, and we were very lucky to have a perfect record, which made it easier on us in overtime. So I don't know, we're a very well conditioned team, which helps train all year for those types of games. But I'd say your days off are almost more important than the game days, as weird as that sounds, just being able to try to recover and get ready.
I like that. I like that. A hockey legend named Keith Tkachuk infamously called the Panthers soft last season during a radio interview. Has he offered his assessment of the current Panthers' toughness to you, Matt?
No, I mean, I think he likes our team. If so, he hasn't said otherwise to me, but we've been playing pretty good hockey and been a pretty tough team and hard to play against team throughout the whole season. So I don't think there's any complaints there.
Speaking of family, can we expect Brady to become once again the Panthers super fan that he was during the run last year in the playoffs?
I don't know. I mean, I hope for my sake that he comes down here. I'd love to see him. Don't get to see him a ton during the regular season, but I know he's got a lot of very exciting stuff on the way in a busy summer, as pretty much everybody has. So we'll see, but I'm sure I can convince him to come down for a couple weeks, hopefully.
Let me ask you about you on the ice. I mean, famously, the season didn't start off all that great for you from a goal scoring perspective, but then obviously you found your touch as the season went on. What was the season roller coaster like for you from that aspect?
To be honest, I didn't really feel like it was a roller coaster at all. Like I go in same mindset each and every game. Some games they go in, sometimes they don't. Team was playing really good at the start, made it easy for made it easy and very fun to come to the rink each and every day when you're winning. So but this year it's actually felt almost like one long year going back to last season, just, you know, very short summer and kind of just rolling it over right into this season. So hopefully another deep playoff run and playing into June. And I know it makes for short summers, but I'd love to get used to that.
Indeed. Wanted to ask you about a guy that's been a line mate for you this season, Nick Cousins. Nick has endeared himself to many players in this league, many opponents, as you have. Do you ever trade notes with him as far as agitation of opponents goes?
No, we don't go that far with it, but I will say he's such an unbelievable teammate and such an important part of our team, and a guy who brings it each and every night, very emotional player, and somebody that I just absolutely loved playing with over the last few years. So we've played a lot more together this season than last, so hopefully we can be playing good at the right time here coming up.
Indeed. I wanted to ask you about the Golden Knights, a team that obviously, you know, you played a bit last year and played, you know, after that as well. What's the toughest thing about trying to beat that team?
I would say the toughest thing is probably their size. They're a big team, so it doesn't matter, especially when it comes to playoff time. You know, seems like the big physical teams always have an advantage. So I would say playing against them last year, they had big forwards, big defensemen. Their goalie was big. It was just, you know, not a lot of room out there. So, you know, they do everything pretty solid and pretty well. They're a very well-rounded team, but I'd say that's what separates them the most.
When you come that close last year, and obviously for you with the injury, it was a real bummer of an ending in the final. But when you come that close, I mean, you've wanted to win the cup your entire career, right? But when you get that close and it gets taken away from you, like, what does that do as far as the appetite to win one?
Yeah, you gain way more of an appetite is the easy answer. But with that being said, you have to embrace the road and the journey to get there because it's very challenging. But you do it once, you can do it again, right? So we got to use that experience to our advantage and come out swinging first game.
I like that mindset, man. I feel like a lot of teams that get to the precipice kind of lose sight of the journey to get there, right? It's like your eyes are so focused on the prize, you forget exactly how hard it was to get in a position to even win that prize.
Yeah, for sure. And our team definitely last year was laser focused and very, you know, didn't have any other mindset other than winning it. So we were very, kind of had the blinders on and we're just focused at that goal ahead. But after the playoffs are over, you're able to look back and remember and reflect on how you got there and how hard it was. And you got to use that experience.
All right. Two more for you. Obviously, one of the biggest stories in the NHL recently has been the Arizona Coyotes relocating to Salt Lake City. We assume that's going to be done in the next couple of days. What was your reaction to hearing that the Coyotes were finally moving on?
To be honest, I was pretty upset. I was born in Arizona. I was born in Scottsdale, and that was a big part of my hockey falling in love with the game. I fell in love with it there, so. It's unfortunate if that's going to be the case, because it's such a great place to live, a great place to play. I know the stories from my dad when he played there, absolutely loved it. So it's unfortunate, you know, guys like, Austin Matthews coming out of there, you know, now with a team, they might not get the next Austin Matthews to come out of there with the team not being there. So it's unfortunate, but I think it's great, though, that I'm a big market like Salt Lake City. If they do come in, I'm just speculating here and don't know if it's going to happen or not, but heard that's an unbelievable city and a great sports town too. So they've been wanting a hockey team there for a while, it seems like. So I'm sure they'll be embraced and welcomed with open arms there.
Cool. And I guess finally, I don't think we've spoken since the NHL revealed that we're going to have a Four Nations tournament and that we're going to Italy, baby, in 2026 for the Olympics. How hyped are you for this to represent your country and potentially get a chance to knock off those Canadians finally?
Yeah, it's been a dream for my whole NHL career, but even going back further, like when I was younger, just loved watching the international events, loved watching the Olympics. So I think this Four Nations, if I'm lucky enough to play well and make the team, the Four Nations sounds like a very good appetizer for the main course over in the Olympics. So I think I can't really think about that yet. Just work my butt off, play well, and hopefully I have a chance to make that team.
All right, Makichuk, good luck in the playoffs, sir. Hope we get to spend a lot of time with you in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, me too. Thank you, guys.
Thanks to Matthew Tkachuk for joining us on The Drop.
Chucky's sad. The Coyotes are moving, baby.
Yeah.
The Scottsdale
part of his
kid.
Life.
Yeah,
part of his life.
Part of his lineage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Who will have the Stanley Cup as part of their lineage?
Ooh.
The postseason is here. The Stanley Cup playoffs. And the ABC ESPN family of networks will have the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
But that's a little ways away. Why don't we talk about the first round matchups? And there are some tantalizing ones as it pertains to storylines. Let's begin with perhaps the biggest storyline.
Yeah, easy.
And that is the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah. If you haven't heard, they haven't won the Stanley Cup since 1967, and they won a round last season for the first time in over a decade. They're facing the team they love to see in the postseason, and that is the Boston Bruins.
I squealed when I saw that this was the matchup. and the Bruins, like, and by the way, the Leafs bought this on themselves by not beating the Panthers in the last game of the season, mm-hmm. correct? Like, they could have avoided this whole thing. Look, it's going to go one of two ways for the Leafs. Either they're going to see the spoked bee and piss themselves, and all the demons of the previous three playoff series over the last 11 years, losing in seven games each time, will come back to haunt them, and the Bruins will advance. Or this will be the Capitals beating the Penguins in the Capitals Stanley Cup season. You overcome your tormentors. It catapults you to greater success than you've ever had. And quite frankly, I think it's plausible the Leafs win this series. I don't like the Bruins offensively. I do think at some point the deficiency at center that we've seen for this team since the retirement of Bergeron and Krejci will come home to roost. And it could easily be against a team that gives you Auston Matthews, John Tavares, and Willie Nylander potentially up the gut. So, I understand the goaltending advantage the Bruins have, but I don't think the Leafs are one you should count out in this series.
And they also have those star players that are starving, and they're probably fed up by now. Yeah. And Auston Matthews, by the way, 69 goals and a Selke-esque performance, so he's going to be responsible in his own end as well.
I lean Leafs. I don't know where you lean.
I lean Leafs as well, but I wouldn't be surprised if this was a seven-game series and the Leafs were up 4-1 going into the ending. Okay.
Listen, I will reiterate something I said to our friend Megan Kelly earlier today. It cannot be a seven-game series if we're leaning Leafs. It has to be a six-game series.
Gotta be,
they're not winning
a
game seven in Boston.
By the way, Megan and I have a jersey bet, so hopefully the Leafs win so I can have her wearing a Leafs jersey in studio. That would be wonderful. The Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers. This will be a fun one. The Rangers didn't know who they were playing until game 82. But here they are. They're facing the Capitals. Ovechkin in the playoffs. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking one thing about the Capitals, which is that you do have a hot goalie in Charlie Lindgren, mm-hmm. and you know, my friend Jeff Merrick made the comparison of this series to the series the Capitals lost to the Montreal Canadiens just over a decade ago, where Yaroslav Halak got hot and eliminated the President's Trophy winning team in the first round. Uh-huh. You know, I don't think the parallel is quite there, but a hot goalie is the great equalizer. I will say every time I've counted out the Capitals, that's why they're in, is they overcame the Penguins. The Capitals shock me. And they surprise me. I don't think it'll happen here, but I'm not willing to count them out in this series. Again, we know by now the spiel on the Rangers, the 5-on-5 deficiencies, what have you. But home ice, I think they've got a depth advantage over the Capitals. Unless Lindgren steals the series, I think the Rangers advance.
Yeah, I think so too. Shesterkin playing out of his mind. They got a good defense core. I think that their offense wakes up. Panarin leading the charge. I think that this will be a victory for the Rangers. I'll say Rangers in six.
Which guy pops off first with a memorable player safety moment? Rempe or Tom Wilson?
The funny thing about that is that Rempe has talked about watching Tom Wilson clips early in his career to rile himself up, to like get himself pumped up for hockey games. And so, now they're playing each other in the first round.
So he'll hit somebody from behind and turn to Wilson and be like, "Once I was the apprentice, but now I am the master."
Yeah, I am the learner. I'm the master. Once I was the learner, and now I am the master. The Islanders and the Hurricanes. This one's a rematch. We've seen this one before. Look, I've said this before, and it's no secret to anybody who's a hockey fan. The Hurricanes, other than maybe the Golden Knights, leveled up the best at the trade deadline. That top line of Aho and Jarvis and Gensel has been singing and humming. Mm-hmm. They will carry that over into the postseason. Gensel's going to suit them very well. They have a lot of great pieces. Kochetkov, as long as he continues, and Freddie Anderson, a great tandem there. I think that they will be a dangerous team. But can't really count out the competitive fire of Patrick Waugh either.
Well, also the Islanders have been the best team in hockey for like the last month from a points percentage perspective. I would like to see Brendan Moore and Waugh throw down at some point. Like, I think that'd be pretty dope to see that kind of thing. Maybe not for the person who sits between the benches, but for us. I lean Hurricanes here. I think the Hurricanes are one of the best teams in the conference. I do think the Islanders can't be counted out based on their goaltending and based on how they've played over the last month. But you know, I've seen this movie before. I mean, the Carolina Hurricanes already have eliminated the Islanders in a playoff series, much like this recently. And I'll take the Canes to advance here.
The Battle of Florida, the Panthers, the Lightning. I think this has Panthers written all over it. I know that the Lightning are a seasoned team. They know what it takes to get the job done. They have two recent Stanley Cup back-to-back victories, three straight trips to the Stanley Cup final before a first-round exit last season. But the Florida Panthers, it just feels like it's their time, man. It really does.
It does, but I think the tipping point here for me is, you know, I famously didn't pick the Lightning to make the playoffs. Little did I know that I would also then be writing a Nikita Kucherov should win the Hart Trophy column because I didn't realize that he would lead them to the playoffs, but he certainly did. I think this, though, is where the Lightning's depth deficit really comes into play. You know, they obviously made some decent moves at the deadline, getting Anthony Duclair, getting Matt Dumba, but it's not enough. I think the Panthers are a deeper team. They're a better team. And by the way, we probably have a certain perception of the Panthers based on how Tkachuk plays and based on how many goals Reinhardt has. They were the best defensive team in the regular season on a goals against per game average. So they're doing something right. Depth, defense, I think it's the Panthers over the Lightning.
And goaltending. Bobrovsky and Stolarz have been great.
And Vasilevsky's not been himself. Unless he becomes Vasi again, I don't think the Lightning have a chance in the series.
So that is your Eastern Conference. Do we have a Eastern Conference final prediction?
Yeah, so people may remember my preseason prediction, and I'm going to have to stick with that preseason prediction because I'm locked into it. So the Leafs are going to advance out of the Atlantic, even though it's a very tough road, and they will face the Carolina Hurricanes in the conference final.
Wow. Leafs and Rangers would be fun.
They certainly, for our network.
For everyone, but I mean, yes.
Let's be honest. Let's be quite candid. Let's pull the curtain back and let you know that the team from New York rates better than the team from Raleigh. Who would have thought?
I mean, if we're going by ratings, it would be New York and Boston, right? Like, that would be the ultimate.
Yeah, without question.
All right. The Western Conference, the Avalanche, and the Jets. This could be the sneaky best series of round one. There is a lot to be excited for if you're a Winnipeg Jets fan.
Mm-hmm.
Goaltending is awesome. Mm-hmm. They've got some offense. They've got some great pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're facing the most clutch player in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the two most clutch players in the NHL.
Look,
McKinnon and Makar.
I know that you speak wrestling, so I'm going to put it in this way.
What makes you say that?
This is the irresistible force versus the immovable object. This is the Colorado Avalanche offense, led by Nathan MacKinnon and Rantanen and Makar and all of them, up against a Winnipeg Jets team that has been one of the best defensive teams in hockey throughout the entire season and backstopped by the best goalie in the league in Connor Hellebuyck. So, who wins, offense or defense? My only hesitation in picking the Jets here is because it's hard to imagine Nathan MacKinnon, based on the way he's played, cannot will this team to victory in a first-round series. It's also hard to believe that the Colorado Avalanche would go out and won in consecutive seasons. But I lean Jets, I got to be honest with you. I think home ice, defense, Hellebuyck, and enough offense to hang with what the Avalanche can throw at you. I think the Jets are a really tough matchup for Colorado, especially because I don't like their goaltending.
If Colorado blows out game one, that's going to set the tone.
Yeah.
If MacKinnon and Makar and Rantanen, et cetera, if they just come out swinging, and it's like 3-0 at the end of the first, to me, that's a wrap.
You might be right.
I'll say this. Nathan MacKinnon
mm-hmm.
is going to skate to center ice.
Mm-hmm.
Big scoop slam on Connor Hellebuyck. Leg drop. 1-2-3.
Wow.
Onto the second round.
Unless Connor Hellebuyck is, in fact, the Rock. Out of
the just kicks out and kicks just out the final boss. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Nashville Predators taking on the Vancouver Canucks. So we've talked a lot on the show
mm-hmm.
about
true.
Well, we've talked a lot on the show, period. Yes. We have actually, yes. The Canucks, we don't know how to feel about the Canucks as a postseason team.
Yeah. Because they're a Tootsie Pop. They're all top heavy. It's like four guys scoring all the goals.
I was like, and where
then
are you going with this?
And then like a giant drop down to like the fourth or fifth guy. Anyway, you were saying?
No, please continue with the Tootsie
Pop
analogy.
I'm just saying, so it's an interesting thing about Vancouver. So they remain one of the best defensive teams in the league. And that's why Rick Tocchet's going to win the Jack Adams, because he's turned them into a great defensive team. They got good goaltending. You don't have to worry about them defensively.
Also because Philly didn't make the playoffs.
Correct. Their offense has fallen off a cliff, though. I think in the last month, they're like 20. In their last 20 games, they're 22nd in the league in goals per game at 5-on-5. So their offense has dried up. And that's a function of their depth not coming and playing as well as it should be. Now, I think they can get away with it against Nashville, because Nashville is not the deepest team to begin with either. But it's a point of concern. And if Nashville the thing you're worried about if you're Vancouver is this. Andrew Burnett's New Jersey Devils team, we'll just give him the credit, skated the Rangers out of the arena last year and won in 7 games. This team in Nashville plays like that. And if Vancouver's not ready to get their track shoes on in this series, it could be an upset. But I'll still lean Canucks here.
Predators goaltending, though.
I mean, you know, if it's not Soros, it's Lankanen, then they'll be fine.
Okay.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about Vancouver putting the puck in.
Los Angeles Kings facing the Edmonton Oilers for the third straight year in the first round. I, on paper, still pick Edmonton here, but let me ask you this. How much is that revenge factor that, we can't keep losing to these guys? How much does that factor in here?
It does factor in, but let me hit you with this. You're a professional broadcaster. I'm a writer. When you do a broadcasting job that you've never done before, is it a little bit more difficult than the ones that you do every time where you've got a bit of confidence in how to do the gig?
Yes.
Like, right, okay. So the Edmonton Oilers know how to beat the crap out of the LA Kings. Like, they know how to do it. They've done it a few times now in the postseason. When they look across the ice and see those guys, there's not going to be a scintilla of fear. They're not going to be intimidated at all. They've done it before. They could do it again. I think this is the matchup they'd much rather have, personally, than the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, certainly. But if you're the Kings, you're like, no, this ends here. We can't go through this again. We're going to figure it out. We are now in a position where we know what beat us in the past, and we got to just address that.
Yeah, what beat you in the past is Connor McDavid. Oh, geez, is he still playing on Edmonton? I guess he does. So I think he'll get beat again. I like the Oilers here.
Captain Confidence. The Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars.
Oh, boy.
This is a heavyweight matchup.
Right?
Yeah. Woo! Are you kidding me? Perhaps the best depth, perhaps the most complete team in the NHL facing the defending champs, who themselves are a complete team, especially based on the pieces that they picked up at the trade deadline.
And two teams whose nuanced system is called bludgeoning. They just beat the hell out of other teams. I mean, you know, it's going to be so much fun to watch. Obviously, the conference final last year was a nasty one with that incident with Jamie Benn and Mark Stone. These teams do not like each other. I do think, though, again, like, the Dallas Stars are the more complete team, I think, this season. And I also think that the way that Jake Oettinger has played down the stretch of this year, he's really recaptured the magic. By the time they played the Vegas Golden Knights last year, if you remember, Oettinger was on fumes because he had played so many damn games to get them into the playoffs and establish a seed. Mm-hmm. He's not played that many games this year, and he is hitting his stride at the right time. He is the difference in this series for me, and I like Dallas to advance.
Yeah, Dallas is just too deep, I think. But then again, if Vegas gets all of their pieces, we don't know at this taping the status of Mark Stone.
Mm-hmm.
If we get all those pieces back for Vegas, they will certainly be... This could be a seven-game series.
Could be.
All right, so those are the preview matchups for round one. What is your Western Conference final?
The Western Conference final is the Edmonton Oilers advancing from the Pacific and the Dallas Stars advancing from the Central. And I, again, you'll find out in a second why. What do you say?
I will agree with that.
Oh, so
I'll just switch.
You like the Oilers?
I'll just switch it up. I do like the Oilers.
Okay, good.
I do like the Oilers.
All right, very good.
So, yeah.
All right,
I have the Oilers going to the final.
Okay, so who do you have in the Cup final?
Toronto-Edmonton.
I also have Toronto-Edmonton.
Okay, fine. I'll
but
say New York,
I know I don't. I had Toronto-Edmonton at the beginning of the season. Did you?
Yeah, I did.
All right. So listen, there's no.
We can't agree.
No,
that doesn't make compelling.
We are not the other shows here. I'm knocking down my microphone that are just making up debates for the sake of debates. If you and I both, through our research and our acumen and knowing the sport better than anyone else, decide that it's Toronto and Edmonton, well, by God, it's Toronto and Edmonton. Who do you like winning the Cup?
I like the Edmonton Oilers winning the Cup and immediately turning on to local news channels to see the state of the city of Toronto as soon as that happens.
I also like Edmonton winning the Cup. I picked them before the season. I'll stick with that pick. Again, I just give us this
win
matchup.
Win or lose. Win or lose.
I am willing to sacrifice this beautiful drought we've had since 1993 of not having to see the Cup paraded through Canada to get Austin Matthews versus Connor McDavid in the final round of the playoffs.
Amazing.
My God, what an amazing time to be alive. You know where I'd want to be for this series, Arda?
Where?
Calgary. What are those miserable people going to do? Will they root for the Oilers? Or could they possibly root for the Leafs?
Yeah, no.
I want to. Calgary will be my bellwether here to figure out how the rest of Canada feels about this matchup.
The rest of Canada, other than Leafs fans, would be cheering for the Edmonton Oilers in this situation, including people in Calgary.
Wow.
That is my prediction.
I don't know, man.
The hatred for the Toronto Maple Leafs exceeds all other teams if you are not a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. The narrative would be incredible.
Yeah.
The superstar inclusion would be incredible.
Again, like if you're booking this thing, if you're writing the narrative, first Cup since 67, and the only thing standing in your way is the greatest hockey player on earth, I mean, you can't script it any better, baby. Give me Edmonton, Toronto. Give me it all day.
I just want to be clear. I grew up in Toronto. I would love nothing more than to see happiness for those people. I also wonder what would happen if they finally make it to the Cup final and they lose. What would my city do?
It's going to look a lot like Mullet Arena this week, actually. I think it's going to be miserable
it
tears.
It would just be utter
openly
sadness.
Weeping, and then, utter and then I will drive through the cities with a speaker on the top of my car playing James Brown's I Feel Good. That'll be my reaction.
That's what's going
to
happen. So look forward to Greg Wyshynski in Toronto very soon. Couple notes before we go here. Playoffs are here. Join the drop group in the ESPN Playoff Hockey Challenge. Face off against Greg and I.
Yeah.
The link is there if you're watching on video, fantasy.espn.com.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Also, shout out to Jack Edwards,
yes.
Boston Bruins announcer, who has announced his retirement after this season. I know that Jack is a very divisive figure, but at the end of the day, he did give us moments like this.
There against Daniel Thomas, who cuts inside Koivu. Good night! 234 years ago yesterday, a bunch of ragtag farmers stood up against the greatest fighting force in the world. And today, school children in Massachusetts had Patriots Day off because of that. Well, a bunch of modern-day Bostonians have turned back hockey's royalty, and they have sent their faithful on a red-coated retreat through the exits. It's 4-2 Bruins.
Well, as I was driving from the former seat of all NHL power, Montreal, through the free and independent states of Vermont, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts today, it struck me what an odd thing royalty is. Royalty in modern times is something that is perpetuated by those who didn't actually make those great conquering achievements and establish their reigns, but rather those who find themselves, because of a certain location in history and an accident of birth, to be in a position to carry on a tradition. Yet those royals sit there on their shiny thrones and primp in their hand mirrors and try to dictate morality according to them about how you can dive or how you should play or how you shouldn't run a player into the center glass. And the rest of us, those poor, filthy masses, are just supposed to take it. Well, a couple of hundred years ago, a bunch of rowdy radicals charged out of some Boston bars, went down to the dock and dumped the King's Tea into the salty sea. And in doing that, it struck a chord that rings true even today, that when confronted with imperious conceit, fighting the good fight is not only the right thing to do, it can be a heck of a lot of fun. And who has more fun than us?
Also, Jack Edwards, everyone that I respect and trust and is a friend of mine, I've not met Jack, but they all say he's the sweetest and kindest human being. And at the end of the day, that's what matters. Those words also apply to Leafs fan and member of the Star Wars universe. He plays Carson Teva on The Mandalorian and Ahsoka and Boba Fett. Paul Sun-Hyung Lee, native of Toronto, Ontario. He had a hilarious anecdote about the chief creative officer of Lucasfilm, the guy basically making all the big decisions now, Dave Filoni.
Dave Filoni.
Noted Pittsburgh Penguins fan, Dave Filoni. Mm-hmm. Check out this interaction that they had. And where will you be when the Toronto Maple Leafs next win the Stanley Cup?
Why are you doing this to me? Fun fact, Dave Filoni is a huge, huge hockey fan, too.
Mm-hmm. He Penguins, loves hockey. Right?
Yeah. He's a homer. He loves the Penguins. In fact, I texted him last night after the Penguins got eliminated, say, hey, look, I'm sorry.
I'm sure there was a lot of emojis in return.
Yeah. Well, hey, he sent me. So here's the thing. He sent me a shirt. It's the Maple Leaf logo. And it says in the middle, just once before I die.
Oh, my. Come
so
on.
So he sent that to me.
Come right? on.
So I just thought it would be fair if I just sent him a commiseration text saying, oh, I'm so sorry your team didn't make the playoffs this year.
So sweet.
Hey, everybody, this is Arto Ocal from ESPN's official Star Wars podcast, Never Tell Me the Odds, and I want to invite you to join me on May the 4th for Podathon 2024, raising money for Make-A-Wish. You can give a new hope to kids who need it most. May the 4th be with you. All right, Wish, if we ever interview Dave Filoni on The Drop, the first question is, how dare you? How could you send a shirt like that?
I mean, with the amount of Star Wars trivia that you have bouncing around in the head of yours, how dare you being the first question of Dave Filoni, I think it's very valorous.
Thanks for listening and or watching us here on The Drop every Tuesday, Friday, wherever you get your podcasts as well, the NHL and ESPN YouTube. Enjoy the beginning of the Stanley Cup playoffs.